Good evening and welcome to Horror. I'm Lee.
I'm Chris.
I am Adam.
And we're here, as previously advertised, for 2003's Dreamcatcher, following our Christmas delve into Stephen King and saying that you guys obviously hadn't seen this before. I have. I enjoy it. I know I shouldn't, and I don't know why I enjoy it, but I do. So I wanted to get your input on it as well. There will be spoilers. There will be swearing, I'm sure. Let's crack into it. What did you guys think?
Do you want to
You want
go
to go
first,
first,
Chris?
Adam? You should do as you haven't seen it. That's the rule.
An entertaining enough film. I feel this was Bobby's, by the way. This was Bobby of Not For Everyone's film that he mentioned that me and Chris had not seen. And it was an entertaining enough film. A film that I spent the first 40 minutes of going, this isn't as bad as people reckon. Why are people moaning about this? And then it sort of takes a few choices and a few roads and stuff like that, and you're like, oh yeah, I'm beginning to see the wheels falling off this a bit. But yeah, the thing I would say is it reminded me, that felt like someone trying to make a John Carpenter movie, but they weren't John Carpenter, and it was 2003, so you had to make a 2-hour film. Because the way Claire watched it with me, and her take on it was that it was like watching a director's cut, because it was like there's a lot in here that feels like it's now in here because it's the director's cut, rather than this is the theatrical version,
Strictly
which was
needed
actually a bit
for
more snappy, you know. But the one thing I would say, especially, and it was the receiving a phone call on a gun. So there was lots of stuff in this that I really fucking loved. I will say that. Getting a phone call on a gun made me realize should have this is basically they should have gone more the John dies at the end route, and maybe not taken themselves as seriously or played up, because basically it's people getting their assholes clawed out by aliens with
Well, it,
farts and burps and
yes,
everything,
it
and
seemed for me to go a bit Starship Troopers, but
Starship
still,
Poopers is
yeah,
that
well,
what they're
exactly,
called?
yeah,
I mean,
yeah, like,
it was Slither without the humour,
yes, yeah.
effectively. Yes, because I think you've got a good cast who can do comedic stuff. I mean, you've got like Jason Lee is obviously perfect for something like that. And I did feel there were bits where it's like, oh, I wish you'd got Rick and Aid in for this. You know, when it's like they're fighting a shit weasel in the toilet, and like there's a man who's been farting and
Yeah.
belching his way to death.
What
You know,
did they
I was
say
like,
just as they were, I don't want to see this. It's like, yeah, I'm
yeah.
right with you. That's like that suddenly stepped things up a bit.
Also, I mean, fucking hell, you know, quite the cast, all of whom I'm assuming don't mention it that often.
I was surprised to see Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman was the weirdest one, especially because he's got like the top billing, even though
He
he's
doesn't
not in
show
it
up for
for the.
40 minutes.
He basically doesn't show up within about 40 minutes.
And is it
He's
one of
got.
his strangest roles that I've seen him in?
It's the strangest fucking eyebrows I've seen him in.
They were huge.
They were fierce. They were attack eyebrows, I believe is the term. But weirdly
Fast and
enough,
hard eyebrows.
it was just, And you've got like I said, you've got Jason Lee, you've got Tom Sizemore's in there, usually plays in slightly harder edged stuff. Not necessarily like harder edged in the sort of sense of like, you know, more realistic, because we're talking stuff like like he's natural born killers and things like that. But do you know what I mean? Stuff where it's like where his character will usually be a slightly more, you know, it's rare to see him in a heroic role.
Yeah.
Really.
Tom Sizemore, who I also know as not Michael Madsen, because whenever I see him, I think, and I had exactly the same as well with Thomas Jane, who I also know as not Christopher Lambert. Because
yeah, actually, very.
Yeah.
Because Thomas Jane is probably, although he's like the main sort of character, you know, he's sort of, he's not the biggest of the names sort of in this, but also he's in The Mist and he's in 1922, so he does a lot of Stephen King stuff.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, he was excellent in this. I mean, yeah.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, I'll be honest. I mean, I was, Morgan Freeman, it was like, thought you'd have gone for something a bit classier, Morgan. That's kind of the role more than anything. Do you know what I mean? So it was actually quite refreshing that he's like, oh no, this person is in the wrong and is, you know, he is doing the right thing, but doing the worst thing at the same time. So it's like, yeah. So you need someone with some fucking chops for that. But yeah, I think, and when Jason Lee first appeared, I thought it was Elvis Costello, even though I knew that that was impossible for Elvis Costello in 2003 to look like Elvis Costello circa like
1985.
And also, I mean, and Damian Lewis, where it was like, ah, that's why Damian Lewis is in it, because they needed someone to do a posh English accent.
Yeah.
And it was a bit like the what's it called? When we were saying with the Dark Half, where I was like, I don't recognize the main actor, and what would he normally be doing?
Yeah,
and actually, yeah, sort of like, you know, sort of upper class smart arsery is what I would expect of Damian Lewis. So when, but also weirdly, I think that didn't quite work for me, because I think, again, I quote her regularly now. She's a much better commentator than I am on this. But Claire said, do you think they showed this to James McAvoy when he was doing Split and went, but not like this?
Yeah. I mean, but I quite liked that. I mean, I thought having the other voice was quite a good way of differentiating between the two. I'd kind of forgotten about that. Yeah, that he has conversations between himself and the alien which has taken over his body. And yeah, it's the only way of doing it, I suppose, to separate on the screen. Yeah, and I thought
he was just so jolly as Mr. Grey.
Yeah.
It was a bit like if you'd got Hugh Laurie to do House and then been Prince George.
Yeah.
As the villain, you're sort of like, no, and I've sort of gone there. I don't know, mate. Timothy Oliphant, who I have to confess I can never recognise, and I suspect that he is some form of animal, you know, it's an Oliphant. Again, I'm glad I've seen it, but it is just sort of entertaining nonsense, I think, is the best way of putting it, without a shadow of a doubt. I was quite shocked for a second when it was like, oh, I thought Damian Lewis was in this a lot because he's quite credited quite high, and then apparently gets hit by the car right near the start.
Yeah.
And everything. But once again, our intrepid author, Mr. Stephen King, do you know what had happened? Can you guess what had happened to Stephen King just before he wrote this book?
Did he possibly get hit by a car?
Hit by a car.
That's right, yes. Yes, he did. Because everything is grist to his mill, bless him.
Right, what you know about, yeah.
Yeah, and actually, in his defence, well, not his defence, but he said about the book, he said, because obviously, like, The Dark Half was the last book he wrote before he, like, cleaned up completely. But when he wrote Dreamcatcher, he was off his fucking tits on OxyContin painkillers because it was bad. He had, basically this bloke ploughed into him in a van while he was out walking one night. In 1999, that was. Hit him with such force that King was flung over the top of the van into a ditch and his glasses ended up on the passenger seat. He had a 30-stitch gash on his forehead, 4 broken ribs, 8 chips in his spine, 2 serious hip fractures, and damage to most of the bones in his right leg, including a split kneecap and an exploded tibia.
Bloody hell, that's bad.
And he had to be airlifted.
Imagine being the person that did that.
Well, the guy who did that was a chap called Brian Smith, who had a long history of driving offences, including driving under the influence and speeding. And apparently his defence in court was that he was distracted by his dog that was loose in the van. They tried to get his licence taken
off
him.
It's not the best defence I've ever heard of.
No. It's sort of like saying, I wasn't driving dangerously.
It's not my fault. I was drunk.
I was drunk, yeah.
Yeah,
but, you're meant to deal with that bit.
but they didn't get his, he got 6 months in jail and a driving ban for a year, which apparently Stephen King was like, no, we want to get his license, but he pled to a lesser charge or something like that. But here's the bit where it gets weird and kooky and interesting. He was found dead from an accidental overdose of painkillers on the 21st of September 2000. Stephen King's 53rd birthday. And they both shared the middle name, Edwin. And once again, apparently, this guy appears as a book in one of the Dark Towers books. As basically a pissed up bloke in a van who nearly hits Stephen King, who is also in the Dark Tower books, apparently. So, it was... Once again. But yeah, so that sort of came in. It hit me as a hit Damian Lewis, obviously, but it hit me as a thing. I was like, oh, that's a bit of a shit. And then I was like, oh, yeah, I remember now. Yeah, he got hit by a.
So how close is this to his book?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm assuming there's more links to the title because it's called Dreamcatcher and there's quite a couple of.
And they show you the Dreamcatchers.
References, but yeah.
Well, I had a look into it. Obviously, I've not read the book because there's a lot of Stephen King I haven't read. So I'm not starting with Dreamcatcher, a book that he has basically said, I was off my fucking tits on morphine, you know, when I wrote that. There's my excuse. Having been sober for the best part of 20 years.
Yeah.
Or whatever it was. But apparently, the Morgan Freeman's character is called Colonel Kurtz, which is obviously a Apocalypse Now reference, which they changed to Curtis because they were... because in fairness, that is a thing too far if you've also put in your... actually got genuine in your film. We call this Ripley after the...
So, I mean, that did seem really odd that there was actual references to Alien.
Because if he's called Colonel Kurtz and no one mentions it, at that point you're like, so this exists in a universe where the film Alien was made, but the film Apocalypse Now wasn't. You know, for some reason. Apparently there's more backstory between Morgan Freeman and Tom Sizemore's characters to kind of... And I saw someone online saying that it makes it seem more... It gives a better reason for why he would just go, well, this bloke's psychic, so I'll follow him.
Yeah.
Like, apparently him and Morgan Freeman had beef back in the day, and it was like, so he is kind of, you know, they're on a bit of a fuck you relationship anyway, that doesn't sort of come across in it. And Duditz is not an alien. He's just a boy with Down syndrome.
I'll
be honest, there's some choices there. I think that's a bit uncomfortable and feels a bit sort of crass in places. Yeah, he's not an alien. He just
yeah, but so how does he give them telepathic
oh no,
powers?
He's telepathic.
Oh, okay.
He's still a magical person, but apparently it's coincidental compared to the fact that there's aliens.
Okay.
And I think in the book also there's like there was something about it's only when I think the reason it's called Dreamcatcher is because it turns out at the end that Jonesy was one of the people immune to the psychic control, but did actually, but thought he wasn't. So therefore, Mr. Grey was able to control him. Which, yeah, I don't know.
but he was able to hide part of himself from Mr. Grey in the mind warehouse.
Yeah.
Which most people can't do, I guess.
No.
No,
they just get taken over completely. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what did you make of it, Chris?
Yeah, you know, not too far from Adam's summation. It was definitely a lot of fun. It's one of those where when you start watching Stephen King, you know, you've definitely got expectations, and this blew some of them away. Because it's like it started off, and I was thinking, you know, it sort of reminds me of it, the way they've got the friends and playing back, and you know, and then the bullies, and it's like I kind of like all that. That's you know, and I like the way they stood up to them. That all seemed to be pretty good. So you can kind of see how they become friends, you know, and they stay good friends as they get older.
It shows that they're good people as well, you know.
And so it definitely explains their sort of purpose later on. But then, yeah, when it did kind of change, it's like, this is definitely fun, but is it almost two different films? And it, like, it is sci-fi, but how good is it sci-fi in a sense? It's like, yeah, it's just hard to know if that blend of more serious Stephen King with the craziness is the best. But that's where I was sort of thinking, I am still enjoying it. So it's, you know, it's hard to know. I kind of think I probably would need to watch it again to perhaps appreciate some of the subtleties that might be in there.
I think the reason it doesn't do so well is possibly because the two halves of the films feel so completely different.
Well, yeah.
Whatever you're in the mood for,
the
film isn't what you're in the mood
isn't
for.
That,
so it,
yeah.
you're, yeah. of, you're never quite going to go, oh, yeah, I'm quite in the mood for, you know, I've just watched it, I'm in the mood for something similar.
Yeah.
It isn't going to jump
not,
out at you.
No.
And if you just
watch it. I wonder if you just watched it at the cinema, yeah. Would you come out going, what?
Yeah.
What did we just watch there?
Well, the weirdest bit as well is that it's set in Derry, Maine, which is one of Stephen King's fictional towns that he has, like Castle Rock and stuff like that. And which is the same town that it happens in. And it's like, so Derry, Maine is really on like, is like an accident black spot for alien visitation. Because that was the thing, is watching it, I was kind of like, I was sitting there thinking, you know, Stephen King doesn't really do sci-fi. And then I was like, oh, no, it is sci-fi.
Yeah.
Because it is it's like an intradimensional alien incursion kind of thing. But it's still in that sort of boat. So it's actually weird because it does feel like Stephen King's kind of redone it, but decided to make it with loads of poo and fart.
but there's some really good scenes, and you know, there's some great moments, there's some great quotes. I thought all the characters were fun and enjoyable to watch. I wasn't too sure about Morgan Freeman's character, because I guess I've got a view of what I expect from him, and that wasn't quite it. I can't say I've seen him in that many films, but I probably think of him from Shawshank Redemption, which it's also
Stephen King,
isn't it? Yeah. And so that's what I expect when I see him. So then it's like, is it? It's not. I mean, maybe a little bit of disappointment. But
the last film we did with him in it was Seven.
Yeah.
Where he is literally the voice of moral reason and decency.
Yeah. But equally, that's it. Like, it was making me laugh partially because of all of this. So it's like, yeah, okay. In that regard, it's good. It's hard to say that I would rank it above other things, you know.
Yeah.
But so yeah. So how did you first come across it, Lee? What did you go and see it in the cinema?
No, I didn't. I think it was one of those. I used to have a habit back in the day of going on like eBay and going on to horror films and going from cheapest first and just scrolling through until something caught my eye. And I've got a feeling that's what this was. And I saw it and was like, oh, it's a Stephen King adaptation. I'll give it a go on nothing more than that, really. So I went in with no idea or expectations, and I was like, oh, yeah, that was interesting. And I just kind of forgot it existed for, yeah, probably a decade. And then all of a sudden I went, oh, yeah, that was a, I think it was, funny enough, I think it was when, what was the vampire thing that Timothy Oliphant was in with Drew Barrymore?
Oh, Santa
Oh, Santa
Clarita Diet.
Clarita Diet. I think it was when
That's
that
it.
came out, and I suddenly went, oh shit, I know him. He was in that weird Stephen King thing. Yeah, so this is probably the fourth or fifth time I've seen this, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, it's only because every time I watch it and forget everything about it, and then I go, that was a
I'm
weird.
pretty sure we'll
I think the aliens turn up right at the end, but I don't remember what they look like. And every time I put it in and go, this is not what I remember ever. So yeah.
That was the thing that it reminded me of as well, is it had that sort of it had that X-Files sort of sheen to it. But
Yeah.
then I think that that was just a such an ingrained thing by then. By like 2003, that was like that, right, that's how every show is done like this. And because you obviously had the X-Files and then all the sort of rip-offs after it, like Dark Skies and the sort of stuff that all followed, and it was all in this similar sort of vein. And it also had that slightly shot in Vancouver feel
Yeah.
that do you know what I mean? Where it's like, oh well, it we get cheaper rates there. I don't know if it was shot in Vancouver or whatever, but it just had that sort of, yeah, just that sort of look to it a bit.
Yeah.
And actually, I mean, in terms of like effects and everything else like that, okay, it's dated a bit, but I don't think there's anything in there that doesn't stand up, and certainly wasn't shonky at the time. I think it's just, you know, it's stuff that's just been surpassed, really, rather than, you know. But I mean, I think the effect of the shit weasels was wonderfully gross and horrible and sort of,
Yeah.
yeah. Although, if anyone out there can tell me what that, because when Jonesy would change into Mr. Grey, and when he turned around, put his hood up, and there was like a
Yeah,
noise, like a
there's a
shh.
noise. Yeah. Like,
I know that from somewhere else, and I'm sure that, do you know what I mean? It's obviously just on like a sound effect thing somewhere, but it was like, I fucking know that noise. I just could not place it. I was looking online, but I don't think, clearly no one's as fucking weird as me just sort of like have picked up on a noise.
No, yeah, I mean, it definitely stood out to me, but I couldn't place it.
Some people are very weird. Some people apparently have such an obsession with toothpicks
Yeah,
oh
that
fuck
they're
yeah.
willing to
Why
try
wasn't
and
it cigarettes or like I'd understand it if it was cigarettes and he was a change
suppose
smoker and he had to get, but it was just it's just a toothpick and it's on that disgusting
But
floor.
when you get addicted to
Yeah.
something, it doesn't matter what it is. But yeah, like you would. Oh, that's so bad.
Claire will often voice at a certain point that, well, that's it. You're stupid. I don't care. I hope you die during moments in horror films. And that was definitely one for her. And she was like, I like this character, but no, this is fucking stupid. Why can't you wait?
Even if he'd, does make you a bit stupid, though, doesn't it?
kept it in the
Definitely.
toilet and got that toothpick, that would still have been what killed him eventually. Because the
Yeah.
bacteria on
They
that
bet.
floor,
Yeah. Oh, no.
yeah.
I was like, you're definitely going to be dead in 6 months of, you know, dysentery or God knows what. So, like,
There was a
yeah, I mean,
bit
and
later on where
after the guy before he's even had that come out of him, is like, you're not,
yeah.
I wouldn't
Well,
want to rush to where you've been already.
there was a bit later on where someone like just exploded a box of matches. And I was like, what is it with you lot on tiny bits of wood? You can't fucking keep it together, guys. Come on. I know he's given, I know Dalek's gave you psychic powers, but you lot are shit at very small pieces of wood. And actually, that was another thing, because in my head, I'd gone like, oh, well, he's been hit in a car crash and he's really injured and everything, because that's what happened to Stephen King. There was also a part of me that was going, after he recovered, was Stephen King doing a lot of DIY at home? Because there are at least three different scenes of people walking around a shed looking for something and getting really fucking hacked off.
Yeah.
And I just thought, is this what's happened at home? You know, you've got a burst pipe or something. Like, I know there's fucking duct tape here somewhere. But
the character I associated with, which I think probably says more about me than it should, or than I should put out there on a recording, and is that when he leaves Timothy Oliphant with that woman, and as he walks off, he says, whatever you do, don't go back to the car for the beer, just stay here and watch her. And you see him disappear behind the trees. And I was like, the second he's out of view, I'd be like, there's a 50% chance I'm going to die. And there's a load of beer 100 yards away. If she dies in the meantime, I couldn't have saved her anyway. I'm going for that beer.
Yeah. I think it probably, and on the basis of what happened to him, he should have just gone and got it.
Yeah.
And actually, that was another bit as well, where it was fucking Beaver and Jonesy with the fucking thing trapped in the toilet, where he like had to come back and make a quip, and it'd be like, no, now is not the fucking time.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's the thing, is I think you can joke. That was the bit that was like, yeah, but the absurdity of the situation, because I think they got it right as well, where they were just like laughing and slightly awkward every time he was farting and belching, you know, and everything else like that. But yeah, I think that they should have just doubled down on it and just gone, no, we know this is fucking mental.
Yeah.
But this, it felt a bit like, it was like, no, we can do it properly. And it's like, Morgan Freeman's got eyebrows that are there to prevent pigeons nesting on him. And people are getting their bum holes cored out by like toothed eels.
I did wonder when he came back to make the joke, was it because he knew there's a chance he was not going to stay seated? And it's like, I'm trying to reinforce this.
Yeah.
And he still didn't stay seated.
The weirdest part was, and I'm going to count a bit of watching Star Wars earlier with Ted as research. I'm going to claim it for
that. Which Star Wars?
It was Desimpia Backenstrike, as the Europeans call it. So the director of this is a guy called Lawrence Kasdan. And he's done films like, he directed Body Heat, White Earth, The Accidental Tourist. But, and get this, he wrote The Empire Strikes Back, The Return of the Jedi, The Force Awakens, Solo, A Star Wars Story, and Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
Wow.
I kind of thought I'd recognise his name when you said it.
Yeah, because I knew the name. And I was like, yeah. Well, I must have seen something. And I was like, I don't think I've seen any of his actual directed films. But yeah, he like just wrote most.
I'm wondering
now,
was the sound effect for the hood, putting his hood up?
I wonder if it is a Star Wars effect. Both of us have clearly just...
It
like,
was a bit like...
stuck in there, yeah.
I mean, it could well be. That's the thing. This film is clearly written, as you say, in a drug-induced state. But the directing of it was pretty good. I thought it did a really good job.
Oh no, I have no problem with the way it was directed at all. I think it was, you know, it looks the part. I think it's probably just a bit long, but
it definitely needed a proper edit. But again, I think there's so much going on. You're right. It's one of those things where you say 2.25 hours is way too long. But then you think, yeah, but what would I cut out necessarily? I'm not sure.
Actually, in fairness, 2.25 hours. But I still think at that point, if you had the rest of the film, 2.25 hours turns out to be very short, because that is a hell of a fucking full stop.
Yeah.
You need a bit more in on that. Even if it's just a voiceover from Morgan Freeman to say that but we stopped the aliens and everything was fine. Or, you know,
yeah, it was because, literally within, you know, that they kill the big bad and less than 10 seconds later, the film's over. You're like, whoa, yeah. Jesus.
And they do that weird thing in the credits where it was just like, oh, we'll just show them all sitting around a table having a laugh.
Yeah.
It's like, what, to remind us that all but one of them has been fucking killed. Or well, two of them have been killed, but there's been a lot of, you know, drilled out bits and spores and so on and so forth. And that, it's unfortunate because I think the CGI would be better now, but I did love the animals running through the...
Yeah.
Just as a concept, that would just be shit.
Yeah, something going on.
Although, again, this was something that me and Claire discussed. It's like, yeah, there's a lot of animals running past here, including bears. I'd get back in fuck inside the house.
Yeah.
Because I know that they're clearly worried, but they're fucking bears. And I don't want to mess with a bear on a good day. Mm. And this is clearly not a good day for this bear. So...
Yes, so it's to surmise, it's a, I mean, I think it's a loose recommend. I think if you're at a loose end and it's on TV, watch it. Like, I don't
I absolutely enjoyed watching it. I just don't quite know what to make of it now.
And for Stephen King fans, I think it's very close.
Yeah.
You know, I gather that
it's got enough.
Kingism.
It's got a lot of his hallmarks in there.
Yeah, definitely.
Fucking psychotic bullies, you know, in flashback. So,
right. So we are going to be returning in a fortnight's time, as usual, with our what we've been watching. And then after that, we are going to, instead of doing a two-part month, we are going to do three episodes back to back. Adam has come up with an excellent point. It's 20 years since Shaun of the Dead has come out. We've managed to make it nearly 200 episodes and we haven't covered it yet. So it's definitely well overdue.
You've got to save some gold for later on.
Some fried gold.
So we are going to be covering in the subsequent three episodes the Cornetto trilogy, which, do you know what? It doesn't matter what mood I'm in. It doesn't matter what time of day it is. I can sit down and put any of those films on and have a great time. So I'm really looking forward to doing this. I think it's a great idea.
It turns a bad day into a good day and a good day into a great day.
Yeah. Very
can,
much
can we,
so.
Can we use that as just the quote for the podcast?
Right. So thanks ever so much for listening, everybody. Possibly go and check out Dreamcatcher, but you know, don't go nuts.
Watch it, don't pay for it.
Yeah, I think that's a good. That's
if it's on telly, if it's on telly, and you're
definitely
curious, watch it.
Yeah. If I just turned it on, I would leave it on. Absolutely, I'd be like, yeah, I'm gonna check this out. This is got my attention, definitely.
That's, I mean, I don't regret the £1.50 or whatever it cost me to buy it in the first place. So. Right. Yes. Thanks ever so much for listening, everybody. Go and check out the Not For Everyone podcast. And we will see you in a fortnight's time for all the shit we've been watching in between. Thanks very much. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.